debts.
So, real quick, you got a dog.
I did. Well, we did.
I'm blowing your announcement.
That's all right. It was a soft launch. If we're gonna use it, the term the kids use, it was a soft launch.
A soft launch.
We did. We got a 90-pound yellow lab.
Good gravy.
He's a big boy. is a little bit funny. He looks just like my child. Like, I shouldn't even say my childhood dog. My parents' dog. They got a dog when I left for college. I don't know if I ever told this story. I moved out at the end of August to go to college, and they got a dog second week of September.
Oh, really?
Yeah. For my little brother, because they love him more than they love my sister and I. so that's how it goes. But she's a yellow lab, but she's like a smaller one, like a 50-60 pound yellow lab.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he is just bigger. Her name's Persephone. He's just bigger Persephone. The best part about this dog is his name.
yeah.
So a little bit of background. The dogs we get from like the shelter, we don't normally change their name because like Lou kind of fit already, and Rocky was not going to be around long enough for a new name. And the other thing we found too is that they kind of already respond to the names people call them in the shelter, right?
Right.
So, and like to make the transition a little easier, we try and not change the name. Well, his name is Gilbert.
What a name.
With a G, Gilbert. So, we're keeping it because that's hilarious and
great name.
The best name possible for a dog. So, yeah, he's a good dog. He's literally sleeping dead right beside me. So, he's not great with stairs. So, like yesterday, I brought him downstairs and I felt like I was trapped at my desk because I was like, I don't want him to feel like he has to go upstairs and downstairs every time I go upstairs and downstairs. And I ended up like keeping him upstairs in the afternoon. Like I put the baby gate up so he stayed upstairs. And
yeah.
Today, he just like has been better at the stairs. Like as he practices with them, so I'm like, oh, maybe. He also, I mean, shelter dogs are like this, but he, when you first bring them home, they follow you everywhere, right? Like they are attached to you. And so every time I stood up, he'd do the anxious dog. Like, where are we going? What are we doing? and then, he's been here almost 48 hours and he's like already gotten a little bit better and a little bit better. So by next week, he might not even care that I leave unless I go get food.
Right. Well, that is awesome. Super excited for you, and Katie to have another old dog.
Oh yeah.
To tack onto your chart.
We have three. So far, at least 48 hours in, we're 2-for-2 on yellow labs and 0-for-1 on red foxes.
Yeah.
So, if there's a lesson to be learned, yellow labs, great dogs. Red foxhounds, not for me.
Welcome to Big Dad Energy, the journey of parenting and adulting through the eyes of two young dads. I'm your co-host, Joe Lopez, and with me, as always, is my co-dad, Jared Szymanski. Jared, how the heck are you?
I am good, Joe. Been a long week, been a crazy week to go get this aforementioned dog. We had to drive to Kalamazoo and back, which is, we did it all in one afternoon, which is just, you know, a big long drive. And then came home, did bedtime, like immediately just jumped into it. So just a crazy, crazy like wrench in the week, but it's been good. The weather's getting nice. I'm trying to kick this like weird cold I have. Like my nose has been running all week and stuff like that. So that's annoying.
Right.
But hopefully once the warm weather gets it, it'll be better. So everything else is going pretty good. It's not, I would say, well, I guess we can dive into it. The Lions drafted last night. You went to the draft.
I did. I'm walking as I as I talk to you.
Go,
Kayla just came up.
Sub to the YouTube if you want to see Joe walking through his house.
That's true. You can get a little tour of my house. Yeah, I'm on my my phone because Kayla was in session, so that's why the audio is terrible this one. But yes, I went to the draft yesterday with Kevin.
How was it? How was the experience?
So it was pretty great for the most part. We got down to Detroit. I got to Detroit around time was it like 5:30? And then Kevin and I went to get on the queue line, and it was just completely full. So we started walking, and then Annie, Kevin's wife, actually came and picked us up and drove us as far as she could down Woodward. But then we got down there, and it was packed. I mean, like, I think they say like 275,000 people
Yeah.
or something like that.
It was a record. It was a record for number of people at the draft.
Yeah. So we went on the people mover to get to an entrance, and they were closed. Like, they stopped letting people into the actual event.
Crazy. You guys got there like early too, like 45 minutes early, right? See, it wild. Absolutely wild.
So we got up there like, know, 6:30. We were probably in the area, but yeah, so they closed the event, or they closed like the entrances. So Kevin and I were just like wandering in a mass of people. I had to walk back upstairs because Kayla wasn't actually done with her session.
The life you live.
I know. So, but there was just like a mass of people kind of just wandering around because nobody quite knew where to go.
Yeah.
Because of the way the barriers were set up, like, there wasn't quite a way to like leave an area, and like sidewalks were super tight. So we ended up right next to the Checker Bar.
Oh,
It's
nice.
got like an arcade upstairs, and they were letting people in. And Kevin and I were like, "Want to go here?" So we went upstairs, and it like was only like half full. We're like, okay. So we just hung out there. Had a great night. Had a lot of fun. Yeah, it was a crazy experience to like be in Detroit, watching the draft happen with like everybody. In that bar was there for that reason. So like everybody was hooting and hollering and yelling. It would have been cool to get into the event, but I can only imagine it's just standing around like
When we had talked,
kind
you
of a
guys
pain.
were going on Thursday, and I debated it, and I've debated it ever since I fig like found out it was going to be here. 'Cause like that, is it a once in a lifetime experience? Maybe not. Maybe they'll come back and like we'll be here again. But it is a very unique experience. And then, as somebody that watches the draft regularly on TV, I do about a million things while the draft is going on, like last night. I had a YouTube show up. I was playing video games. I was taking care of the kids. And I was thinking about like how often I actually like pay attention to the draft. And it's like 10-second snippets every like 25 minutes. Like 25 minutes will go by, then I'll pay attention. 25 minutes will go by, then I pay attention. I was like, I don't know if I want that experience surrounded by 100,000 people, you know?
So, and then it's like when you find a spot to stand in there, you're probably just stuck there,
Yeah.
right?
Like
And
sardines, you
getting
know?
a, yeah. So, like, and the beers were probably like $14 a beer. So, being at a bar was nice, and the windows were open in the bar. So, like,
Oh,
there's
that's
a breeze
nice.
coming in. It wasn't
Yeah.
too hot in there. But it was very cool for the like when the draft started, and they Eminem came out and then brought on the other well, the players, Amon-Ra and Jared Goff and Hutch and Megatron and Barry Sanders. Like, the bar just went nuts
Oh,
as
yeah.
soon like, and then when they when Amon-Ra started the Jared Goff chant, the bar started yelling,
That's
and oh, it was great. It was really cool. I'm glad I went.
awesome. I'm glad you guys had a good time. I'm glad you guys found a bar too. Like, that is the much preferable way to take it in, I think, at a bar surrounded by a bunch of, you know, like, the draft is a cool event, but it's much cooler when it's here than it is when it's other places, because, like, everybody was out. The pictures of downtown, like, I was seeing pictures on Twitter at, like, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It was packed down there. And I was like, that is...
Yeah.
The draft doesn't even start till 8, which means they're not going to pick the first pick till 8:30. People at 2 o'clock were out and about walking around. And, like, it's a cool, cool event. It was very cool for Detroit. Very cool to see how everybody packed in.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully they bring more events now that they see how cool it can be.
I hope so.
I saw some very funny memes about it this week on the internet. They changed all the street signs in Detroit around the draft, and people are laughing because, like, Detroit's acting so weird because we got company coming over. It's very funny.
That's very good.
Cleaning the house, changing the street signs.
Right. That's really funny. No, it was cool. It was really cool. I do hope they do it again, especially, like, breaking the record for most attendance. And what a year for Michigan football. Like, what a great year. I'm glad I'm a football guy now.
I'm telling you. You jumped in at the right time. You jumped in at the exact right time.
I really did. I really, really did. But yeah, so that was cool. I'm glad I did it. I think everybody should come to Detroit at some point in their lives to check out the D. It's a cool city.
I agree. And go get Sweetwater wings. Wings from Sweetwater Tavern. That's what everybody
I've never had those.
What?
Yeah.
Joe, what?
Should we go right now?
I'm telling you, it's worth getting fired from my job to leave in the middle of the day to go get wings. These wings are top tier. I brought my entire family and Katie's entire family, like, 2 weeks after Will was born, because everybody was in town.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, if we're going downtown, we're going to Sweetwater for lunch. They're like, what do you mean? I'm like, we're just going.
Interesting.
I can't believe I've never had it. Mind blowing.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I'm going to add it to my list of things to do.
You absolutely need to. Speaking of things that we needed to do before this episode, Joe, this is a professional transition that I just threw in there.
It was great.
You gave me a homework assignment.
I did. And you did it.
I did it. It took me a little bit longer because I was not home the week that you told me to do it. But we did end up watching. So the homework assignment was we had to watch the new episode of Bluey. Now, that episode was called The Sign. Have you guys watched the new episode of Bluey called The Surprise?
We have not. I've seen the end of it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen the end, but
although 7 minutes, and we'll talk about The Sign as we go through it, more emotional watching that one than I was watching the other one.
Really?
Just for the end. The end makes more sense when you watch the whole thing, but the ending of that one hit me a lot harder, I think, than the ending of The Sign.
Huh, okay. I'll have to check it out. So we watched The Sign, which is Bluey's 28-minute episode.
Longest Bluey episode ever.
I think that they're testing the waters for a movie just to see how people reacted. My goodness, I've seen this episode probably 5 times. Boy howdy, it hit me. It's a pretty emotional episode. I mean, what did you think? First overall thoughts.
It was very cute. I thought it was very cute.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't specifically connect with it. And I've actually been racking my... So, it is very cute. It was very, like, Katie cried, don't get me wrong. I loved every minute of it. No, there's nothing. I was trying to rack my brain because the general response... and if you listen to this podcast, I would hope that you're on other forms of Bluey, like news, like Reddit and Twitter and things like that, because TikTok, everywhere across all social media, everybody's response was like, I cried the entire time. I was weeping in front of strangers. Like, this was the cutest thing I've ever seen. And I didn't quite get that level of emotional. Like, mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. Every episode of Bluey makes me emotional. Yeah, I mean, that's just how Bluey is, right? But it didn't, I wasn't like crying at the end. And I think it's because I thought it was a happy ending. Like, I think I didn't, that wasn't the right emotional response for me to cry, because I was like, oh, that's really happy. They're not leaving. It's, you know, it's spoilers for the end of the episode.
Yeah.
You should know that going into what we've just talked about. And so in that case, I was like, oh, it's a happy ending, you know? I thought it was going to be a sad ending. I probably would have cried if they actually moved and actually, like, started a new life somewhere else, because that would have, I think that would have tipped me over the edge. But it was very cute.
Yeah, I agree. It is a happy ending. I think for me, so now I'm going to kind of walk through why it was emotional for me. I think for me, it kind of like, it doesn't really hit until maybe the like last quarter of the episode is kind of when it starts to kind of ramp up on me. Because up until that point, they are dealing with finding Frisky, right? So, but it's a sweet lesson through it. But that last little quarter hit me, I think, because they start talking about, well, this is where you took your first steps in this house. Like, you know, we've done so much in this house. Our family grew in this house. And it's like, oh my God. Like, there's going to be a day where I know that I'm going to leave this house. And it's going to be really hard for those same reasons. And I think that that's a lot what I thought about. And this episode made Cora cry. And seeing her cry, is what first made me lose it, was seeing Cora cry about a TV show. And I try to ask her, like, why? Like, why are you having these feelings and what's making you feel these things? She didn't really give too much response to it, but it's at the end when they're taking the things and packing them up. The last time I watched it, I looked over and I could see Cora's eyes just start to get like watery. And she was sitting next to me. And then I just started crying. And then she was like, but they're not moving. Like, and,
mm-hmm.
And it was just an emotional moment just to, like, see Cora cry at something that hits her in a way as a four-year-old.
Yeah. It's probably the first time she's, like, emotionally felt, you know, something towards a TV show, which was a really interesting, like, we haven't had that experience yet, so I don't even know what that would feel like.
Yeah. So for me, it hit me because of the whole, you know, it made me realize they are going to be leaving this house, but then Bandit making the decision to say, hey, sure, a new job in a new city is great and it will benefit our family financially, but what my family needs in this moment is to be here, and they need to be in this town, and they need to be with their family, because, you know, Rad and Frisky are moving back home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is what they say. So it's also a moment where Bandit just says, okay, I'm making this decision. Oh my gosh, this dog. Speaking of dogs, Willow, I think, is barking at a squirrel. So I'm gonna pause for 1 second.
While you can hear me, because you have headphones in, I think the interesting thing to me, and Katie and I discussed this, like, while we were driving to Kalamazoo, and I was talking about this episode that we're mm-hmm. going to do, and talking about why Katie and I generally are less sentimental people, Like, we just don't, we're just not super sentimental people. I don't know why that is. I moved a lot as a kid, if you want to really tie back some childhood trauma stuff. I moved a lot as a kid, so, like, I was very used to up and going places. but the other side of this, excuse me, the other side of that is when we bought this house, we kind of put in our own heads, like, this is a starter house. Like, this is our first. It's our first home, right? Because I think I've talked enough about it. Our house is not super big. Our house is not super, like, even the place where we live, like, we live next to a train yard. We live by a really busy road. We live by 8 Mile. You know, like, the where we live is not super conducive to having a family long term, right? There aren't a ton of kids in our neighborhood. We're not really by a school or anything. It's just not ideal for what we would imagine having our forever home to be, right? So we knew that when we bought it. And I think that leads into part of my thought about this too, is not even necessarily the moving, but some of the emotional notes that they hit in the episode, like, our family grew up here, you know, like, your kids took your first steps. This was your nursery. I think I've always kind of imagined our house as the place we're going to move into the next house from. And that, I think, also kind of was like, I connected less with that because of that thought, right? Like, I don't, I didn't go in, or I've, hard to say, I've already kind of mentally prepared myself to experience those emotions. So they didn't hit as hard when I saw them being experienced on the screen, if that makes sense.
Totally. I get that. And we knew too, this isn't going to be our forever house, but I think as I got to thinking about it, you know, it was like, wow, I have memories in my house right now, right? Like Cora's first steps and things like that. And Grayson's first steps. But I think what's going to be hard when we get to that moment is having to like explain to my kids that we're leaving. And then to have them realize that they're not going to be back in their home. Like, they're going to be somewhere new, somewhere probably scary. And, you know, they have comfortability here, right? Like, they go to their rooms. They go and play in their rooms. They go in the basement. And, like, just their knowingness of this house, then realizing that, like, having to tell them, hey, we're going to step out of this house one day and we're never going to step back in it.
Yeah.
And that's going to be tough when we get to that point down the line. So I think that's kind of what hits me. And so Cora calls this episode. She says, can we watch the Bluey that makes me cry?
Oh my gosh. That is adorable.
It's like, every time she watches it, she just gets teary. And, you know, I would like to hopefully one day ask her again, like, hey, what about this episode makes you cry? And I think she's sad because Bluey's sad and Chili's sad. And then that song at the end.
Oh my God. There's nothing like the Bluey soundtrack. We listen to it in the car going places. Like, there's nothing like the Bluey soundtrack. It's phenomenal.
It's so good. The song is, I can't think of what it's called. But it's sung by the woman who plays Calypso, the teacher.
Oh, yeah.
And it's such a good song. And it's just so beautiful. And it's a beautiful moment when that song comes on. And then I realized, as I was listening to it, the song sounds a little similar to the song from Toy Story 2 when you hear Jesse's backstory of being a toy that was left in a box.
Oh, yeah.
And it sounds super similar to that. And that song, watching that movie as like an 8-year-old and hearing that song, is also super emotional. So I think it was kind of a little bit tied to that too. But it was a great episode of Bluey. And it wasn't until I realized, like, my second watch through, that I realized the story that Calypso told and like how it plays throughout episode.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I put it together like right away. Sorry. It was exactly what I was paying attention for as they were going through, if that makes sense. But I think I think that in itself is a great lesson. Like, good things and bad things aren't necessarily good things and bad things, right? Like,
yeah,
it just, the world kind of moves and rolls, and you know, you just kind of got to roll with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And So it wasn't until like the second episode, I was like, oh my gosh, like it's such an easy connection. Like, yeah. Yeah, I was like, oh my God. Okay. Yeah, I get it. And also when Bluey sits Bingo down and starts to tell her the story, mm-hmm. like, what a sweet moment. But yeah, it was a good episode overall. I thought that it was pretty great. 28 minutes.
I'd watch a Bluey
movie.
I'm
glad it gave me ears. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm glad it gave Cora an emotional response.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and I hope that she told me the other day, because that new episode, Surprise, came out. I was like, hey, do you want to watch the new Bluey? And she's like, I don't want to watch the one that makes me cry. Oh. And then she said, no, she didn't want to watch Surprise. So I have to go back and watch it. But do you want to talk about any more about The Sign, or do you want to talk about Surprise?
You know what? I won't talk about Surprise. I think we are at a point where you have to watch it first, and then we'll talk about it. It's not emotionally game changing like The Sign was. Like, that was an entire 30-minute episode that was emotional start to back, and honestly, to make this a little bit meta, almost completely changed Bluey forever. You know, the show Bluey forever. Like,
yeah,
it would have been all new characters. The one thing I'll say about that is it first hit me when they went to the school. I was like, all these characters that we've known for 4 or 5 years now that we've been watching Bluey, Ben is 3.5. So that long that we've been watching Bluey, like, it's all going to change. It's all going to be different. It's all going to be a new, like, start
for
new characters. I'm glad that they're not doing that, because I happen to like all these characters. But yeah, so Surprise is just a cute, like, kind of follow up to that to make you feel good. It's pretty good. Everybody should go watch all of Bluey top to bottom.
Yeah. Every episode, if you haven't already, which is crazy because we talk about it a lot. But seeing everybody's response on TikTok has been pretty cool. Just like, man, this dang dog show about a dog is just like so good and can create so many emotions that I think it really does, especially this episode, show that, like, yeah, the show isn't just for kids, that this is the show that's showing parents how to not parent, but like, I don't know the words to say it, but like, you know, just showing basically life in a good, easy to digest way, and how it can be hard as a parent or fun as a parent. And it's showing that very, very, very well. And I'm sure this episode hit home for a lot of people, but I've also heard that some parents were upset because they're currently selling their houses and Bluey gets to stay in their house.
I wasn't necessarily going to bring that topic up.
Yeah.
But it's a kid's show. It should have a happy ending. It absolutely should. If I were a film critic, I would say that's the easy way out. If that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's the easy way out of the story is to just say, nope, we're not, you know, we're not moving. Like, oh, the person that bought their house suddenly backed out? That's, you know, a surprise. That never happens. Mm-hmm. When somebody puts a deposit down in your house, you don't just suddenly, you know, go and buy a different house.
Yeah.
So, if I was a film critic, I'd say the easy way out. On the other hand, it's a show for 3-year-olds. They can take the easy way out whenever they want and however they want. It's a show for 3-year-olds. So,
yeah. Yeah. So overall, I loved it. I'm glad I watched it. I'm glad I watched it a couple different times. I think it's still gonna hit me every time I watch it. I don't know what happened to my phone just a second ago,
I
but
saw
I don't
it.
Know if you're only seeing just my head right now.
No, I got you.
Oh my God, because everything is zoomed in on my phone and it's just my head and just your head. Yeah, I think every time I watch it, I'm going to get emotional. Every time Kayla watches it, she had an emotional response. Overall, loved it. I loved it. I loved it. I thought it was great. And Brandy, Chili's sister, is pregnant.
Yeah, that was after, a shock.
After X amount of, you know, time having issues getting pregnant, in the episode Onesies, which I don't even think is on Disney. Maybe it is, but I don't think it is. Where they talk about Brandy, you know, wanting kids but not being able to have it or to have them. To see her be pregnant is a very happy moment in that, which is very cool.
Yeah.
And then Bandit's dad showing up.
One of the wilder character, not even character as a person, but like people were like, oh, he must have died. He's not in any episodes. And then he's in like three episodes just very randomly. The way they explained his absences away by saying he was on a trip to India to find himself is one of the funniest things that is possible. Like, oh yeah, he hasn't been here for 3 years because he was in India finding himself.
Right, right. That was really funny. And there's a lot of Easter eggs in this episode. If you go back and like look through it, you know, did you find Easter eggs here and there as you were watching it?
Honestly, I've only seen it once, so not as many as I could have, but I am sure that if I watch it a second time, I'll know.
So many. Yeah, so many. Well, good. I'm glad that you did the homework. I'm glad we chatted about it.
I did it.
You did it. Good job. I'll go watch Surprise. I'm just going to have to watch it by myself without my kid because they don't watch Bluey anymore unless we absolutely force them.
That's wild.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. Well, let's get out of here so you can go do your work.
You got work. I can go. It's a Friday afternoon.
Yeah. Friday afternoon. So thank you all so much for listening to the short one. We wanted to keep it short, just chat about the sign. Yeah. Thank you for listening. We appreciate you all. If you haven't already, give us a like, comment, rating, review, subscribe, all that stuff. Shoot us an email at bigdadenergypod@gmail.com and check out our website, bigdadenergypod.com. We got some merch up there. You can join some membership tiers. Yeah, thank you so much for the love. We really appreciate you.
Go follow us social media. We're at Big Dad Energy Podcast on Instagram, Big Dad Energy Podcast on YouTube. Go follow us there. Like, rate, subscribe, all that YouTube stuff that you guys normally do. Appreciate you guys coming back every week, and look forward to talking to you next week. For both of us, I'm Jerry Schmansky.
I'm Joe Lopez.
And remember, look at comments twice before you use them.
This has been a production of Planet Amp Podcast, powered by Pinecast.